Welcome to Words of Light with Jim, sponsored by All My Relations in Indianapolis, the largest rock and mineral shop in the Midwest, carrying metaphysical supplies for all spiritual paths.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Jim.
How are you guys all doing? Okay? Good. So what are we going to talk about today, huh? We're going to talk a little bit about what the Bible really means instead of what everybody sort of takes it for, okay? We're going to dig into, let's say, some of the little hidden secrets in the Bible. Because is it really what it appears to be? Let's go right off the bat. The first story, of course, most everybody remembers the little Adam and Eve story, right? So did Eve really eat the apple and all of a sudden put us out in the woods, if you will, of life? Really? Symbolically, it didn't require necessarily eating an apple. What it really meant was, what's that tree of knowledge? What is a tree of knowledge? It's becoming aware. That's really what it meant. How many of you have read the Bible extensively? That's fine if you haven't, but I'm sure you've all heard of some basic stories, so that's kind of what we're going to highlight today. And not to mention a few, if you've got questions about what does this mean that you read in the Bible. Like I said, not all of it is exactly the way you heard it to be or have been told. You've all been to other churches, have you? I'm sure, somewhere, you know, called mainstream, right? So some, I guess you could say spiritualism isn't mainstream, but what church is mainstream? The one that most people attend? Okay, that's all it can be decided on. What is mainstream? How about the main street of Leroy? Does everybody go down Main Street? Probably not anymore. It's not enough going on down here, is there? So we take the side roads of life, right? And by the way, what is Main Street? Is it over there or is this street over here? That one over there, is it? Okay, not everybody takes it, whatever. But it's all symbolic that we travel the mainstream of life, or do we always venture off the mainstream to find out something more about life? Who doesn't like to take the back roads? I mean, besides me, everybody likes to take the back roads. I do a lot, okay? Why? We start to see it really as it is. Everybody takes the interstate, right? Hurry up, get there. But what do you see? What you see, and that's it. Now, if you slow down to 35, 40 miles an hour, you're going to see more, right? It's the same thing. We slow down a little bit. We start to take note of things at a different pace. Instead of hurrying up through, everybody likes to stop at fast food restaurants, right? So you can get the food right now, right? It's the same thing. Do we want to hurry up and make everything instant gratification, instant hurry up and get this done? Or do we want to savor something? Has anybody ever taken something they really enjoy, and let's say it's anything, a piece of cake, pie, a steak, and just make small little pieces of it and just really go slow at it? It may take you twice as long as somebody else to enjoy it, but maybe you'll get more out of it. It's the same thing about life in general, okay? So back to focusing on the story of the Bible. Eve, did she want to hurry up through life, or did she slow down a little bit? What happens when you become aware, then you start to realize you do slow down. You do. It's part of being aware that if I savor something, I enjoy it, then you get more out of it. It's real simple. Think of I'm enjoying life to the fullest. Now, that doesn't talk much about Adam and Eve other than initial startup, right? That's pretty much into the story for them, right? So other than they got kicked out of the garden, right? Well, here we are. Are we all living outside the garden? Or have we really stepped into the Garden of Eden? What is the Garden of Eden? Is it true? Is it really a place that would be so perfect, if you will, to say it? Well, it's a state of mind. That's the real place, is a state of mind. The power of the mind. And it tells you so many times the power of the mind. And a lot of what happened to Jesus was the power of his own mind and how it affected so many people. We'll talk more about him in a minute. But, okay, let's go back to another story in the Bible. Everybody remembers a little bit about Noah's Ark, right? Everybody was on there, right? Everybody got on the ship, right? The boat or whatever you want to call it at the time. So was that real? Did that actually happen? Okay, now let's go back to the logic or logistics of putting two animals of every breed on that ark. Now, who ran up to the North Pole and hauled two polar bears down? Who went to the equator and hauled them over to the Middle East of iguanas and you name it, animals, okay? All kinds of, Nico's more from that area. He would know kind of those unusual animals that we don't see here in Indiana, right? Okay. Now, think of the logistics to go get those animals. Did they send them UPS or FedEx or what? Who got them there to the Middle East on that ship or that ark? I don't know, boys. It doesn't add up to me. Can everybody see that? So what does it really mean? Because remember, it has meaning behind the story of the ark. So what it really means is balance. Because it starts off with 40 days of rain, night and day. 40 represents four, right? It starts with four. Four is balance or stability. Anybody knows that we all have four-legged tables here, right? And there are four-legged chairs we're sitting on. And that's stability. Back to three. Three is very unstable. You can tip over too easy. So we got back to common sense or stability and also balance, recognizing we need balance, the feminine and the masculine, because remember, we were supposed to bring one of each, remember? Balance, complete. I'm in harmony with my masculine and my feminine, and I choose stability. What is stability? Well, what's stable for you may be not stable for somebody else. So you have to find your own stability. And if you feel like you're rocking, you know, anybody ever been on a boat before a ship? Yeah, been on a cruise or even a rowboat, you'll find that it can be rocking sometimes, right? And you're not doing a thing. You're just sitting there and like, what's going on here? Why is this boat rocking? Well, can you imagine the ark? If you thought of the logic of it, that sucker might have been bopping around like a cork, right? Anybody ever seen a cork in the water? It's very unstable. So if we think, back to that thought, the power of the mind, to create stability and balance and recognize our own feminine and masculine sides, bringing them into balance and harmony and be at peace with them, can we sustain the great flood? And I don't want to jump too far ahead because I'm going to talk about that in our sermon today or lecture upstairs, okay? But the flood is symbolic of a tremendous amount of water, right? And in spiritualness, back to even, let's go to the baptism. Anybody ever had a baptism where you were completely dunked in water? That's why the Baptists believe completely immersing you is important. Because in a technical sense, you were brought into this world in your mother's womb in water, basically, in a nutshell. Completely surrounded in water. Imagine that. You weren't just a few drops on your head, right? You were completely surrounded in water. So the great flood started right there in your mother's womb. So you got comfortable with water. Hey, baby, this is cool in here, you know. And then when it came time to exit, you thought, oh, what's out here? You know, surprise, you know, the cold world. A little bit of that Adam and Eve story when they got sent out of the garden. They were put into another reality. If you wish to call it the cold world, or it's just the world, the way the world is. So back to that state of mind. Are we completely surrounded in our own spiritual awareness? Can we do that? Is that possible? Absolutely. Does anybody realize that much of what we do in the world is by choice? You say, I didn't pick my parents, did I? Yes, you did. You picked where you live in Illinois, Indiana, wherever you picked to be born. Imagine that. And sometimes it's pretty hard to believe that, isn't it? Because you were never told that. But could you imagine if you were set straight upon your arrival on the planet at birth and sat down and explained right away some things about how life really is, you would look at it completely different than what it's been told you. Imagine that. Back to the Bible. That's why I said the Bible was a metaphor wrote in a very secretive, like, code of some kind so that the ones that need to know would understand. And you'd say, well, why couldn't God made it easy for us, you know, hand us the book and spell it out, X, Y, Z. I'm not sure. And again, if you wish to say, let's go back to, I know at least from the Catholic standpoint, why do they call their church service Mass? It's for the masses. They were handed the same thing. Everybody stand up. Everybody sit down. Everybody do the, because people were not educated back when, let's go back to before schools were out there in the world. What were schools? Only the rich could afford, if you call it, teachers to be teaching their children. The masses were all out there farming. They didn't worry about getting an education. They didn't worry about writing or anything. Get out there and work. And then if you wish to say it in our world today, not so long ago, but for before our birth, most of us, how did farmers get help for their crops? They had more children. They didn't hire it because there was nothing to be hired. They went out and had more kids. That's how they got their farmhands. And so, of course, anybody that knows a little bit about farming, what happens anymore in today's world, because equipment has replaced hands, when the kids come into the world, the farmer doesn't need them around anymore, and the kids have got no work to do, so they have to leave town, if you will, or leave the farm. That's just a reality checkup, okay? And this is just how things evolve or change. None of this is bad, it just is. You say, okay, what does that got to do with the Bible? Well, you spend enough time reading it, folks, you're going to start to see all these little subtle messages in there. Of course, I was raised in a Lutheran school, 8 years of schooling, and they were more or less not just encouraged, but told you have to read the Bible. So by stupid luck, you know, I find out something and had to read it the way they told me to read it. But some things just didn't add up to Jim. I couldn't believe it. Okay? Number one, a little bit of the Noah's Ark thing. I thought that was a little on the fakey side. You know, I wasn't sure, you know. But now that I think about it, I'm thinking back to what I said. Did anybody go up to North Pole and haul down 2 polar bears? Maybe they were already living on the equator. I don't know. Whatever. Have they evolved to something different? See, that's a possibility too. So we'll give that option open. Okay, anybody heard about the Tower of Babel? Because that was when they were building this, supposedly building that was going to reach up to heaven to talk to God. And what happened, of course, was what? They all got to talk different languages. You know, they all showed up on the job site one day, and then somebody was talking to somebody, and they couldn't understand them. Like, what are you saying? You know, everybody started talking different languages. So what does that really mean? Is that really what happened? Possible. But back to, in our attempt to connect to God, how many different churches are there in the world, folks? They speak different languages. Isn't that strange? So if you don't believe me, start attending different churches to find that out to be a truth. They get broken up. They separate it into their own belief systems and ideas. That's what started the whole thing. Their attempt to connect to what they believe God. By the way, has anybody got the phone line directed, hooked up to God? Has anybody got one of those in your house or on your cell phone or what? You might have one if you believe you can. And by the way, you all do have a phone available to God. Yes, you do. Boy, where is it been at, God? Who forgot to tell me where to find it? Well, you were never told that. Did you know that? Because you always had to go somewhere else to connect to God. Go to my church or go to this minister, pastor, and he'll get you closer to God. Now, weren't we told you're all children of God? I was told that. I remember that. So my logic says if I'm a child of God, I can talk to my Father, if you wish to say it that way, my God, directly. Do I need to talk to you to get to God? No, not necessarily. I'm not saying I can't. But if we take time, and that's where meditation comes in, everybody does that, right? Well, let's take the word quiet time. It changes the perspective of call it meditation to call it a formal posture, quiet time, music, candle lighting. No, it's quiet time. Find a place that you feel good about, comfortable, relax. That's the first step, is to relax. And how many of us can get out of our logical brain for a moment? That's pretty difficult, isn't it? Why? Should be easy, right? Can I stop that and shut it off sometimes? Let's go back to your upbringing. You were told what? To think before you act. Did you know that? That instilled what do you call program that was put into you. Think. Okay, so immediately brain says, I gotta think. Let's go to work. And did you know that the brain has, the main function is to use logic. Call it connect the dots. 1 + 1 = 2. It serves a very good practical service. But it's not necessarily a way to connect to God, if you wish to say it that way. Because God doesn't need thinking. Did you know that? God doesn't think? No. God just is. And that's part of understanding back to who God really is. God is already inside of you. You don't need a trip out there to go to La La Land to get God. You can call it La La Land, heaven, whatever you want to label it. It doesn't matter. God's already inside of you. Remember, you're already a child of God. So we accept that. Pretty soon, we start relaxing. And it helps us to relax even more. Because we're not striving anymore. We're not struggling. We're allowing. That's the key, is to allow in our spiritual awareness.
Thank you for listening to Words of Light with Jim. Come check out All My Relations in Indianapolis, or go online to allmyrelationsindy.com, the largest rock and mineral shop in the Midwest, carrying metaphysical supplies for all spiritual paths. Words of Light with Jim, spreading light for your spiritual journey.